Pete, what time is it over there?
It is 3:05 p.m.
See, that's the time I should be getting up. The Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 23rd, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, joined, as usual, by AJ.
Hello.
Agile guy, whatever you want to call him. And our good friend, Pete Davidson.
Hello.
We know him as the Angry Jedi.
Yes.
Pete, it's great to have you back on.
Great to be back.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, here's what we're doing today. So listen up. We're going to start off with the news. We have MPDs, right?
Yes.
Good. Then we're going to move on to the quiz. Then we're gonna do what's after the quiz? Oh, let's go topical. We're gonna do a let's go topical. Then we're gonna go to our week in gaming, downloadable releases, and then the weekly normal retail releases, and that'll be the show.
All right.
Did I forget something?
I don't think so.
Good. Okay, then why don't you start, Asgard?
Let's see, NPD numbers. Let's go with the hardware. We have the DS winning once again at 524,000 units, which is actually a slight drop from last month, but not too big. Coming up second, and I can't believe it, the PlayStation 3.
Wow. Really?
492,000 units.
Well,
yeah. This is, keep in mind, this is primarily the month of the price drop and PS3 Slim.
Apparently it worked. Didn't every other system have a price drop?
Yeah, everyone else had a drop, and everyone else is up as well.
But the PS3's up. Well, you know, I guess, if you think about it in theory, this is the system people had the least of. So if there was one they were holding out on,
right,
it's probably the PS3.
Well, I have a point to bring up later, but let's keep going.
I'm sure you're going to try to find a way to discredit it.
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
Okay. Let's see. Third is the Wii with 463,000. Then the 360 with 353,000. The PSP at 190. And the PS2 at 146. And keep in mind, these numbers don't include PSP Go in any measure. On the software side, the number one selling game is Halo 3 ODST, with 1.52 million copies sold, which people are saying is actually low for this game. Well, it sounds okay to me. And we have Wii Sports Resort with the Wii Motion Plus in second, 443,000. Then Madden 10 on the 360. Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story sold very well at 258,000 copies.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. Mm. Then we have the Beatles Rock Band on Xbox 360 at 254. Then Madden 10, the PS3, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 on the 360, Batman on the PS3. Then we have, at number 9, Guitar Hero 5 on the 360 at 211,000, followed up by Beatles Rock Band on the Wii at 209,000.
That's interesting.
So the numbers that have come in have indicated that across all SKUs, Beatles on Wii, PS3, 360 outsold Guitar Hero 5 on Wii, PS3, 360, and PS2 for the month of September.
Hmm. And weren't Activision trying to have a dick-waving competition with EA a little
while
back?
I remember them saying, like, oh, it's the best Guitar Hero launch ever. Like, oops.
Not so much, huh?
No.
Maybe that first day was really good.
I mean, I'm happy. Like, I think the Beatles is a fantastic game. And yeah. But, thumbs up.
How do these sales compare to, say, Rock Band 2 and Guitar Hero 4, I wonder?
That's a question you need to ask me in advance so I could research it.
No, do it now. I'll wait.
Oh, good Lord.
No, don't worry about it. Okay.
Okay.
I bet they're down, though, is my point.
Oh, yeah, it's probably not as big. And, you know, I wonder, I would love to see the breakdown for Beatles. How much was just the game? How much was the limited edition bundle? And how much was the, what do they call it, the special value bundle? I'd like to see that breakdown. But, I mean, they'll never release that.
Right.
It should also be noted that Dead Space Extraction failed to go over 9,000 units, which is kind of sad, because that game actually looks pretty decent.
Did that come out really late, though?
I think so. But still, 9,000 is a paltry sum.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember I saw some people saying, "Oh, Kingdom Hearts 200 or 350 days over 2 days didn't make the list." That game came out like September 29th.
Yeah.
I think next month's going to be interesting. I think.
Next month is interesting to see if a legitimate like triple A Sony exclusive that was like created this generation. It's not like it's not relying on some sort of past franchise like Metal Gear was can sell well.
What game are you talking about, Mike?
Yeah, Uncharted. Basically, I want to see if Uncharted 2 will sell well.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's got a lot of competition, though.
Imagine if like that doesn't crack the top 10. How disheartening would that be?
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Well, this goes to the point I wanted to make. With these increased PS3 hardware sales, we didn't really see much of a jump in PS3 software sales. I mean, the only PS3 games to chart here are Madden and Batman, which kind of makes me wonder. I know you guys think I'm like picking on Sony, but so it makes me wonder how much of this was new customers and how much it was existing PS3 owners who like bought the system at launch who now wanted to buy a PS3 Slim.
Well, look, people buying a new PS3 for the first time aren't necessarily going to be buying the newest games.
Yeah,
a lot of them probably went back. I'm saying that there probably was an increase in software sales, but they were probably spread over a lot of.
So you're saying they bought like $30 games like Uncharted or the Ratchet and Clank, the first one
out. Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
Okay, I'll accept that argument.
Why would they buy, something brand new already when they already paid $300 for the PS3 and there's games they haven't played that are good and cheaper?
I will buy that.
Do the software figures take bundles into account?
I'm not really sure. I want to say no. But I could be wrong.
The Slim has no game bundled with it, right?
It doesn't here. I know a bunch of them in Europe came out, right?
I actually haven't looked into it recently, so I should have probably thought about that before I asked it. But I think a lot of the game shops do their own sort of store specific bundles. I can't remember if there's a proper Sony bundle like they did with Little Big Planet and Uncharted. But
I know there are some. I think if it's like a store bundle where the game's not in the box, I would think that would count because they still have to scan the SKU card and everything. Mm. It would go through as a copy of that game coming off the shelf. And, and the other thing, too, to keep in mind, you always have to remind yourself of this every time you look at these numbers, is they don't include Walmart. Which I always think if they did would significantly skew all these numbers in some weird way.
Yeah.
Basically everything that's cheaper would come up. Was that harmonica?
No, that's a car horn outside my window.
Oh, wow.
Oh, those crazy English
car
horns.
Hell of a microphone you got there.
All right. Car horn.
Are we done with NPDs?
We don't call them car horns, do we?
Yeah.
What do we call them?
Hooters.
That is not true. Yeah, we do call them car horns.
Yeah, we do. Moving on.
Hey, I had a weird dream. Want to hear about it?
Sure.
I had a dream that the Cleveland Indians were renamed to the Cleveland Carrier Pigeons.
Okay.
Right.
I was terrified. I was really upset, and no one else was mad but me. I was like, what about all my old Indians clothes? And this name is stupid.
Moving on. Infinity Award announced this past week that Modern Warfare 2...
Did you say Infinity Award?
I didn't mean to. Infinity Award announced this week that Modern Warfare 2 on the PC will not have any sort of dedicated server support. Basically, it's going to work just like it does on the consoles with matchmaking and stuff like that. And everybody flipped out. Saying this is the end of the world, the PC gamers demand choice, and blah, blah, blah. And Infinity Ward's basically saying, listen, we're not catering to you guys, the guys who, like, make mods and play, like, with weird server rules turned on. We're making the best overall gaming experience, and, I mean, they didn't say it like this, but they're like, quite frankly, you guys are a drop in the bucket. Like, it's like 100,000 signatures in this petition, because, those always work. I mean, how many games or copies is this game going to sell? Millions. Like, they don't care about 100,000 people who are bitching. So,
wait, you're taking Infinity Ward's side on this?
I don't know. I mean, it definitely
sounds like you are.
They're not going to have dedicated servers
on the PC version of their FPS.
I feel like dedicated servers were important when like half the people playing were on 56K connections.
Yeah.
But everyone's got pretty fat pipes these days. I mean, my connection clocks out about 13 megabits per second.
Look,
I can handle 20 people playing Modern Warfare.
No, look, if you want a healthy online community on your PC shooter, you need dedicated servers with mod support and all that good stuff. Okay, why the hell do you think people are still playing Counter-Strike this day? You think that would work if there were no dedicated servers? That's bull. You know what, people, and you know, this doesn't include me, I never really played Call of Duty on a PC, but there's plenty of people who helped make Call of Duty popular, and they want this one little feature. You know, normally it's not a little feature.
Dedicated servers. You have to make server code.
You know what? I think Infinity Ward can afford that. I hear they're doing quite well.
They made it sound like they're going to make sure that everyone at Infinity Ward is made aware of these complaints. Maybe they'll release it eventually down the line. I don't know.
I bet not. I think it's cool.
So did you guys see Michael
Packard? Wait, how does Pete think? Pete, take a side.
Yeah.
Well
see,
said.
He
with
agrees
conviction.
With me.
Yes.
Okay, whatever makes
I
you feel
agree
better.
With everything you just said.
Ha.
Okay.
You
have you guys
know
seen Michael
about.
Packard's
you
quote?
Door.
Shut up, I'm trying to do the news. Have you seen Michael Packard's...
Hey, did you hear that I was talking over Ajkai?
Yes.
Have you guys seen Michael... I knew you were going to do something, you asshole. Michael Pachter on Game Trailer's bonus round show had this quote about Xbox Live price increase. This is what he said. You really want to hook every gamer who has a 360. You want them to buy all their games on 360, play everything multiplayer, pay you $50 a year so that in a couple of years it's $100 a year. And that's going up. We all know that. It's a profit deal. Now, everyone interpreted this as him saying he thinks the price of Xbox Live is going to go up to $100 a year. I'm kind of reading this differently, and maybe this is wishful thinking on my part, but tell me what you think of this interpretation. I think what he's saying is that basically their goal is to double the player base on Xbox Live so that what was $50 a year worth of income per player becomes $100 a year, and that's what's going up, the user base, not the price. Because there's no way...
That's a weird way of saying that.
Yeah.
I know, I understand that, but there's no way anyone can think Microsoft's going to make Xbox Live $100 a year. People bitch about it being $50.
Yeah.
It would be
a bad
move.
We're in a recession. Yeah, there's no way that's happening.
Yeah.
I think he's being misinterpreted and he poorly worded himself here.
I would hope so.
It is a really weird thing to say, and Microsoft can't not anticipate a huge amount of bitching if they do want to put the prices up. Although that said, having looked at some of the Windows 7 launch campaigns, maybe their marketing department isn't in the best state right now.
The Mac ads aren't much better right
now.
No,
true.
Oh, wait, no. Did you see the one Mac ad where it was like, where PC said, hey, this Windows 7 isn't going to have all the same problems that Windows XP had, and then Mac's all like, what are you talking about? That sounds familiar. Then they do like 20 different flashbacks, like going to him saying the same thing all the way back to like Windows 2.
Yeah. Eventually, those adverts on both sides are just going to be, I'm a PC and I've got a massively long penis. I'm a Mac and I've got a massively wide penis. So,
oh, man. I hope it doesn't turn into that.
Yeah. That'll be.
They don't call him Justin Long for nothing, folks.
Oh.
Zing! So, Dylan Cuthbert of Q Games has announced this week that apparently rampant piracy of pixel junk monsters on the PSP is discouraging the company from bringing future titles to the PSP at this point.
Jeez.
Isn't that sad?
Now, I wonder if he's being maybe a bit dramatic.
Here's my concerning thing, though. I always assume that part of the attractiveness of the digital distribution model on the PSP was that it was kind of anti-piracy, which is basically what the PSP Go is built around. Like, if they ever can crack the firmware in the PSP Go, that system's screwed.
Yeah, that will be a big problem for them.
Maybe
that's why the system has to cost so much. You have to make up for money they assume they're going to lose on piracy.
There you go.
It's a little sad, but...
When you buy a PSP Go, you're paying a piracy tax.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. May as well see if I'm going to pay the tax. I may as well pirate.
There you go.
No, I never
just
pirate.
Justified piracy.
No, I never pirate. That's bad. I tried to one time, to be honest. That didn't even work.
I tried it one time and I didn't like it.
I didn't like it. I accidentally broke my PSP. So joke's on me.
Oh, that's right.
Well, you broke it, Ad Guy.
Doing your dirty work.
I was like, Edge guy, I need to drill a hole into my battery. I'm terrified. You do it. Okay. 2 seconds later, smoke.
Anyway, for all you Poke fans out there, you can go to Toys R Us between November 7th and 15th and get Arceus, which I believe is Pokemon Diamond Pearl Platinum's version of Mew.
Oh my god, that's like the Pokemon that basically created the world.
Yeah, it's like God.
Wait, where?
No, Toys R Us.
When?
November 7th through the 15th.
Oh my god, I'm totally getting what's-his-face, Arceus.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Oh my god.
There's a Toys R Us not far from me. I'll go.
He is a badass-looking Super Pokemon. Although the problem with all these new Super Pokemon, it's not like Mew, where it was like, there was kind of this like irony of Mew, because he looked very kind of like, oh, I'm Mew. He's like this kind of cute little cat floating thing, but you know, he's the most powerful Pokemon in the game. Now the powerful Pokemon kind of look the part a bit more.
Right. And plus, I mean, I have to imagine these are out there already, because that game is so hacked and with the online.
Oh, they were out there when I was playing it when it came out. People were
hacking.
Right,
so this would be a legitimate one if that makes you feel better at night.
It would make me feel better.
Well, good. All right, did you guys know that Sid Meier hates humanity?
No, I didn't.
Is humanity a game, or like
no,
us?
No, it's us. He's trying to kill all productivity by announcing Civilization Network coming to Facebook next year.
Oh dear God.
Yeah, we're screwed. I play a shitload of Farmville at work. If I have Civilization to play in Facebook, I'm just done. I'm done. They're going to be starting a closed beta of it very soon, so become a fan of it on Facebook if you want details. I just did a little dance as I said that. Peter Molyneux is talking again, confirming both Natal and microtransactions for Fable 3.
Am I the only one who thinks that Fable 3 is going to be terrible?
Here's the thing. I know it's not going to, again, match up to all these lofty things he's going to say about it, but it'll still be a pretty good game, just like Fable 1 and 2 were.
I don't know. I think, like, this time, he's actually going to try to do crazy shit, and it's just not going to work.
But with Natal, you could pretend to carve your name in a tree when you're a little boy, and then it could actually be there, and then it won't, because he'll forget to put it in again.
See?
And that tree's going to grow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Bad motion control implementation, and microtransactions, that is not a good combo.
It's not motion control, it's Natal.
What?
It's not motion control, it's Natal.
What do? You control things with motion, huh?
It's not a motion controller.
It's... Well, what the hell would you call it?
Well, it's just motion.
And you're controlling things, yeah. Pete?
Isn't it something really stupid, like full-body immersive entertainment or something like that?
That's right.
Ooh, that sounds good. Let's put that on the box.
Yeah.
No. Peace with me.
So, have you guys read what Kojima said about why Peace Walker's on the PSP?
What'd he say?
This guy needs to shut up sometimes. Basically, his reason for putting this game on PSP is for all the kids who, like, when they brought home Metal Gear Solid 4 and their parents didn't let them play it, and then they tried to explain the game's anti-war and anti-violence motifs, and then their parents like, well, you're still shooting people with guns, so you can't play this. Well, now they can play on their PSP and their parents can't see what they're doing, and they can go hide in their room and play Metal Gear. So, you know, it's for the children.
That's wrong on a lot of levels.
That's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Well, first off, the reasoning
shut up.
The reasoning makes no sense. Second off, that's not necessarily like an admirable endeavor.
Yeah.
That help kids hide what they're doing from their parents.
And finally, the
also,
Left 4 Dead.
If there's any kid that's aware of like the anti-war motifs in Metal Gear Solid 4, yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, hey, real quick aside, I forgot to bring this up at Toys R Us. Apparently, from the leaked ad, Best Buy, on the week of the 25th, is doing their own buy two, get a third game free deal.
Yeah, that's cool. Man, there are a lot of games I want, but I don't know. It's getting close to my birthday and Christmas. I think I just need to start holding off now.
Forza 3, Borderlands,
yeah,
Demon's Soul.
Yeah, I was thinking
Soul.
Forza 3. Borderlands. Wasn't there something else you
win.
Wanted to do with that? You know what? I want that. I think that new Ratchet & Clank looks kind of sexy.
Were talking about that.
I have to say. It looks... I've never really beat a Ratchet & Clank before, but that one looks pretty good.
Yes. Alright, final item on my list is the Left 4 Dead 2 trailer came out yesterday. I don't think it was supposed to, but it's pretty sweet.
Why do they keep, accidentally leaking their videos at Valve.
I don't know.
Excuse me.
God bless you. All right, that's the news.
Yay.
Yay.
It was a good time. We all had fun. Yeah. Me just more than others. Okay. Quiz time. This will be exciting. I have found a very old quiz, AJ. I want to see
reusing
if you can... What?
All right, I can see you put a lot of effort into this.
No, I want to see if you can do it this time.
This isn't the look around Mike's room quiz again, is it?
No. No.
So do we know how I did last time?
Yes.
How'd I do?
You got last time. You got just two of them right.
You're making that up, aren't you?
No. I just looked at them and assumed which ones you got right.
Okay. Well, let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
This time you have Pete to help you, who may not have helped you before on this one. First question. Name the fictional land in which Golden Axe takes place.
Oh, fuck hell.
You got asked this before. You should have learned it.
I don't know.
Uria.
Axeville.
Uria.
What?
Uria.
Uria. Okay, it's not Axeville.
And what level in DuckTales is the final boss fought in?
Space? The moon?
Transylvania.
Oh, shit. That's right. It's Magic of the Spell.
Question 3. What was the original name for Quest for Glory?
I know.
Okay, what?
It's Hero's Quest, So You Want to Be a Hero.
That one.
That's it?
Yay!
Question 4. What is the name of the villain from Zero Wing?
Praetor Katz.
Good job with the whole Praetor part. Question 5. In the logo for Mother, the O in Mother is replaced with what?
The Earth?
The Moon.
Ow. Oh.
Bonus question. We all remember that Alucard made his first appearance in Castlevania 3. What was the name of the pirate who could climb on walls and was also a playable character in that game?
Hang on a second.
You need Beige for this one. He's a Castlevania junkie.
Eater Rip?
What? No, Grant.
I was trying pirates backward.
Hey, guess what? You got 2 right.
Eater Rip.
See? You get no better time.
Eater Rip the pirate. That's terrible.
I know. Okay, keep going, keep going.
That's it, that's the last question. You're
done. I know, go to the next thing.
Oh, okay. I can't just stand here and be stunned at your ineptitude.
No, go on.
Alright, come on, Cyber, let's go topical!
Woo!
Let's go topical.
Yes. You guys ready to go topical and stuff?
I'm
sure.
Okay, we'll start with Edge Guy. This is basically yes or no questions, or agree or disagree is whatever you want to do. Let's say agree or disagree, because they're not really questions. Looking back at it, I see no question marks, only periods. All right, AJ.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for Ratchet and Clank to take a break.
No. I think they're doing fine. They have the other every other year thing going on with Resistance, and the games are still doing pretty well, and they look good. It's not like I don't get the sense that they're crapping them out. I mean, they look like really good, well-made games, so... No, I think they're fine.
Pete?
Yeah, I agree with what AJ said there. It's... having never played one, there's a fairly big library to go through there, and from what I've heard of them, they're all pretty good to play as well, so it's not as if they're dropping off in quality or anything like that, from what I've heard anyway. So I think as long as the series stays fresh, which they seem to be pretty good at keeping it fresh, then they should keep making them.
Still though, 9 games in 7 years, I think it's been, counting all like the portable versions and spin-offs.
Well, yeah, in the portals, that's not made by Insomniac, so those don't really count entirely.
Well, they're Ratchet and, you know, they put their name on it.
Well, yeah.
They give them the license, there it is, it's a Ratchet and Clank game. I don't, it's hard for us to think, because I don't think any of us are diehard Ratchet and Clank fans, but it seems like when I read reviews for this new one, the biggest complaint is just that everything is a little stale.
Hmm.
Which, you know, for someone like, you know, people like us who haven't played a million of these things, that may not be a big concern of ours.
Right.
Next question. Pete, we'll start with you this time.
All right.
Persona 5 will be a PS3 exclusive. Again, not actually a question, is it?
Mm.
I need to stop using that word.
Are you saying whether I think that will happen, or...?
Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it did. Although, Atlus being Atlus, they could pull something completely crazy out the bag and make it a Wii exclusive. Because they've... it sounds stupid, but they've done quite a few Wii games as well. I mean, all the Trauma Center games on the Wii and so on. So, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that, because... the Persona series and a lot of the other Mega Ten games, the kind of presentational aspect of them has never been the main priority. I mean, Persona 3 and 4, they look all right, but they're not the best looking games on the PS2 by any means. I wouldn't be surprised if they did something a little bit outside the box, like putting it on the Wii or something. I'd like to see it on the PS3, but I don't know if they will.
What do you think, Edge Guy?
I'm going with Wii.
Really?
I think Atlus has a history of liking to reuse assets. And on the Wii, they can do that. And on the PS3, they'd have to build everything from scratch.
Mm.
You don't... But, I mean... Well, the fact that we haven't heard anything announced yet. Mm. Whereas Persona 4 was a year later. I think if they were reusing assets, we would have seen something already. I feel like they're up to something.
The only way I could see this happening is if their secret plan is to make money from all these PSP remakes that will fund the development of a PS3 Persona 5.
Mm.
I feel like Persona 4 probably did better than...
How well did they really do? Do they merit spending the time and effort to make an HD PS3 quality RPG, or
just because the game's on the PS3 doesn't mean it's like, you know, gonna be Uncharted 2.
Hmm.
There's that expectation of that for this series to jump from PS2 to PS3. I think there's got to be some kind of significant boost in graphical quality.
Yeah,
it'll
not
look
quite
better,
Final Fantasy
sure.
13 level, but
I think Persona 4 certainly did well enough critically for them to justify doing a sequel, because. Certainly in kind of the European press and websites and things, people talk a lot more about Persona 4 than they ever did about Persona 3. I only heard about Persona 3 because of, I think, Beige playing it in the first place and blogging about it. And I read that blog and thought, I really need to play that game. But Persona 4, people were talking about well before it came out, and they're still talking about it now.
I think the Persona series has become something of, at least, you know, a pretty decent big deal.
Hmm.
And I think Persona 4, you know, I don't have the numbers to back me up, but I think it did sell pretty well. I mean, for, you know, especially considering what it was, a very Japanese, pretty hardcore RPG on a, you know, what could be considered a dead or dying system in the PS2.
Mm. You know, all dependent if they feel they can justify the development expense.
Has Atlus ever released a game on the 360?
Droplets?
I want to say yes.
What was that, Pete?
There's Droplets on Xbox Live Arcade, but I can't think of any sort of retail titles they've done.
No Mega Ten games, right?
No. Certainly no Mega Ten games.
Hmm. Are there any other Mega Ten games in the pipeline for like the consoles, not handheld, that I don't know about?
I don't know.
They seem to keep churning out sort of handheld ones as well. And there's Strange Journey as well, isn't there? Isn't that officially a Mega Ten game, even though it doesn't say it on the box?
No idea. You need to ask Sword Guy these questions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. It's pretty much the same team that worked on the other Mega Ten games. It's got Shoji Meguro doing the music again. So I seem to remember him saying that it is a Mega Ten game, despite the fact it doesn't say it anywhere.
Does it have that same art guy? I think that's like the qualification.
The guy who draws the penis monsters.
Right.
Yeah, probably.
Exactly. I guess you would probably, you know, also if he had the monsters in it. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, next question then. We'll start with AJ. Super Street Fighter 4 at $40 is a good value. Again, not really a question. I need to stop saying question.
You could just put is in front of all these and they become a question.
No, that's not how it works.
I don't know. I was trying to think about this to myself. I feel like 30 is a no-brainer. I didn't realize it's a difference of $10. It'll depend, honestly, on the final feature set of the game. Honestly, right now, the most attractive thing about it is that every character is unlocked.
You don't have to go fight through Seth.
But then, did you read Seth Killian's quote this week where he's talking about how this is, like, their biggest fan reactive thing, and they're listening to the fans, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes on to say, we're making Seth even cheaper.
Oh, great. What?
I thought everyone bitched and moaned about that, and don't say you're making him cheaper. If you want to say we're making him more challenging.
I don't think he used the word cheaper.
No, he did. That was the quote.
No, I thought that Seth
that
asked
was
him,
the
so
quote.
You mean you're making him cheaper. No, no way. Show me, link me, because that's not what he
I'll
said.
I'll find it.
That is not what he said. You find it, Pete. What do you think?
I think, well, it depends what price they put it out here.
Assume, like, the equivalent of 40, what would the equivalent of $40? It'd be a third off whatever it typically is for you.
Right, so that would probably be, what, I don't know, about 25, 30 pounds, I guess.
Man, you guys get ripped off.
Yeah, we do. We really do. I think for people who've never played Street Fighter 4, it's a great deal, definitely. I don't know if I'd buy it again, although that said, like AJ said, the idea of having all the characters unlocked is quite appealing. You got the new characters, you got the other modes and stuff, so I kind of get what you said a little while back about whether it could be DLC instead, and it's splitting the market and so on, and yeah, I'm not sure about it. I probably will end up buying it because a lot of my friends like Street Fighter 4. I know you guys like Street Fighter 4 as well. And so I probably will end up getting it just so I can play online with you and say I'm crap and then beat the shit out of you.
There you go.
Okay, I got the quote. It's from Seth Killian, the Capcom community manager, talking to Kotaku. There's two quotes. He first says, "This is the most fan-responsive game in Capcom's history." Then he says, Seth will be even cheaper and more irritating.
Oh, great.
I know.
Is that paraphrasing?
No, that's the quote. That is the quote. Cheaper and more irritating.
I'm still skeptical. Why would they say that?
I know. Everyone thought he was bullshit before. Everyone didn't agree. He wasn't challenging. He was just cheap.
He's just a... whatever. That's like, we don't have to fight him anymore. So,
yeah, that's
fine.
True.
We can just get our game and just go online and fight people. But, you know... I just want to say, I think, you know, it says about roughly 8 new characters will be added to the roster. I think that's a pretty substantial roster upgrade.
Yeah.
Especially if some of them are just, like, new characters that haven't been in a Street Fighter before. Mm. Plus, you know, the all the balancing, and I'm sure they'll throw in some other nice things. I think it's pretty good.
The only thing that worries me slightly about the new characters is how many of them are going to be, like, retreads of other characters with the same moves but a different model.
Right.
Ryu Ken kind of things.
Yeah.
You know what? Besides, like, the whole Billy and Ryu clones, Street Fighter doesn't really do that too often, so...
No.
So I think we'll probably be okay. Okay, let's go next. Let's go next. That's funny. All right, this is back to Pete.
Yeah.
You would have preferred Brutal Legend to be a more straightforward action game.
I'll be honest, I still haven't played it yet, so...
But still, just from what you're hearing about how it's you know, it gets very RTS-y, and it's, you know...
No, I don't think so. I like the idea of mixing things up a bit and having a bit of variety in there, and that's something that Tim Schafer's always been good at. So, no, I don't think so. I think it's a good idea to keep things interesting and keep players on their toes as well, because a straight action game can get dull if you don't. If you don't have lots of interesting things to do in there. So, no, I don't think so.
AJ?
Yeah, being, I think, the only person here who's played it, it's actually really good for what it does. I like the way it incorporates some of these strategy elements and other gameplay, because playing the game past the demo, the action game mechanics are good, but they're not enough to stand on their own. It needs this other stuff. Otherwise, the game would be, like Pete said, it'd become really boring. You'd be doing the same basic combo over and over again. I'll talk about it more when we get into our week in gaming, but I'm actually really happy with how they've implemented the strategy bits into it and everything else, so I'm fine with the game as is.
I'm still kind of terrified to start playing it.
I'm telling you to play it. You'll like it. It's good.
I am no fan of RTSs.
I'll get into it later.
Let alone console ones. I don't know. I feel like... Do you think the demo misrepresented the game a little bit?
The demo would have benefited from having the demo as it was, plus one of the stage battles, which is the quote-unquote RTS bits, where you actually... I'll get into all this with the Art Week in Gaming. I'll go into it in more detail.
Okay. Alright, AJ. You're next. Before I had just brought it up, you forgot about Project Needle Nose.
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't thinking about it right now until you said it, but it's Project Needle Mouse, not Needle Nose.
Yeah.
I feel like Needle Nose.
What the hell is in your mouth?
If you were talking longer, I wouldn't have to do this.
You're so attractive right now.
Yes. No, I mean, there's not really much to remember. We just got that bullshit teaser trailer. Until we actually see something of it, I'm not going to be, like, drooling over the concept.
Pete.
Yeah, no, at the moment, I'm the same. I'm a big meh about it. I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah, I know it's there. I just don't really care at the moment.
Yeah.
You guys are supposed to talk about that one for a little bit so I can eat some Frankenberry. Okay, give me a second.
Don't you know that people get pissed when we eat on the podcast?
Well, that's why I was like, all right, I'm going to introduce the topic. I'll turn off my mic for a second and eat some Frankenberry.
I thought you cut out for a second.
But no. And as I'm eating, I'm like, oh, God, he's going to talk for like 5 seconds. All right. Pete.
Yes.
Pete.
Yes.
Despite all the delays, this holiday is still stacked.
Yeah, I think so. I think holiday season for gaming kind of starts around now, if anything, with the games we're starting to get towards the end of October, and they're gradually going to build up and build up as we get closer and closer to Christmas. So, yeah, I think there's still plenty of stuff that people are going to be buying over the holiday season. And there's a lot of really good stuff. It's almost too much stuff in a way, because I know just in this month alone, there are so many games I want to try. So many games I'm still playing from before. And it's just going to get more and more so towards Christmas. I don't think there's going to be any shortage of things to sell systems and for people to buy.
AJ?
Yeah, I agree. There's like still 7 or 8 games yet to come out in the next 2 months that I like really want. Like, not games I'm curious about, games I know I want. You look at, you know, Assassin's Creed and Modern Warfare, Dragon Age, Forza 3, New Super Mario Brothers, Demon's Soul, Borderlands. I still have to finish Halo yet. There's plenty of games coming out. If anyone's going to complain that there's not enough, they're fools. Or they need to get a life.
They're fools.
They are fools.
Fools. Okay, AJ.
The publishers think it's fools we be. Soon they'll delay our sequels, and then all else be possessed.
No one gets that reference but me.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd give me a response.
No, we're not going that far into it. If you want to, you can edit that Planet Mickey we did about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Hack. All right. AJ, Blu-ray will eventually come to the 360.
Nope. I know this because I got into the Xbox Live preview program, which I was going to talk about later, but I tried around some of the 1080p streaming, and it's really good. I mean, I did it with free content. I wasn't buying stuff.
So that's why? Because streaming will counteract it?
Yeah. You can, with this update, too, they've introduced not only the ability to rent, but to buy movies. So, and then you don't have to download them, you don't have to keep them on your hard drive, you have access to them. That's where Microsoft sees everything going, and I think they might be right.
Here's my issue with you. Not too long ago you said that Infinity Ward doesn't need to do dedicated servers because that's a drop in the bucket as far as fan base, whatever. Don't you think that the amount of people who say stream movies compared to those that go out and buy movies is like negligible?
Keep in mind, I'm not saying the difference between people who are buying and streaming. I'm saying the difference between streaming and buying Blu-rays.
Okay, even still, I don't know. How many people really stream movies?
Apparently a lot. You always hear the numbers of how great the Xbox Live Marketplace is doing.
Do we?
Yeah, they're always... Oh. It's the number one distributor of digital media in the world for movies.
I'll take your word for it. Pete?
Oh, I was actually reading an article about this just before we came on today, actually.
That's why it's topical.
Yes, it is topical. Let's all go topical.
There we go.
I was looking around IGN at some stuff on Forza 3. And there's an article there that's headlined, Microsoft Planning Blu-ray Xbox 360 Add-on. There was an interview with Gizmodo where Steve Ballmer was asked if we'll ever see an Xbox 360 with a built-in Blu-ray disc drive, and his quote was, well, I don't know if we need to put Blu-ray in there. You'll be able to get Blu-ray drives as accessories. But then he said, I think the future of movies is on demand, actually, as opposed to via distribution on physical media. So we're just going to keep driving forward and trying to make Xbox 360 the best overall entertainment experience and not just gaming. But then there's an update at the bottom of the article that says that Major Nelson cleared up the matter on his blog, saying that Ballmer was misspeaking, as he is wont to do, and said that Steve was referring to Blu-ray accessories for the PC. And then clarified it by saying, as we've said in the past, we have no plans to introduce a Blu-ray drive for the 360. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a drive for it eventually, but they seem pretty keen on the idea of the digital distribution. So I don't know if I even want to see one, because I've got a PS3 now, so I use that for all my Blu-ray playback. I'm going to say no, I think. And they're going to try and focus on the marketplace content rather than Blu-ray.
I mean, I guess they probably already got pretty burned with the whole HD DVD drive.
Yeah.
I still maintain my conspiracy theory that they deliberately supported that to delay the adoption of Blu-ray until their digital distribution model was in place.
See, everything with you, anything Xbox does bad or fails, according to plan.
It's a conspiracy theory. I don't know if it happened or not, but I think it's kind of funny to think it did.
Well, do you guys think maybe the next Xbox would have a Blu-ray drive instead of a DVD drive?
I don't know. There's still people who think the next Xbox won't even have a drive.
Hmm.
Yeah, because that works so well with the PSP Go.
Well, shocker, Sony tried to be innovative but cocked it up.
See, that,
and someone else will come in and fix it.
No, you know what? No. Okay, listen. The next Xbox is going to have a drive. I don't know what it'll be driving, but it'll have a drive. God. It's going to download everything. Yeah, right. Yeah, fucking right. God.
Well, you're not going to go to a store and buy games anymore.
Yeah, you're fucking will.
I don't know what it's going to be driving.
An interesting way of phrasing it, I know.
Yeah.
All right. Pete!
Yes?
Unless I think of another one while you're talking about this one, this is the last one. You will buy World of Warcraft Cataclysm.
Yes. For reasons I'll explain in our week in gaming.
Yeah, I'll probably buy the collector's edition.
I only cut off Pete there for comedic effect. Sorry, Pete.
I'm frankly hurt.
I know you have been playing World of Warcraft, though, and I plan on talking to you about it a lot during the next segment.
Oh, God.
Good.
AJ, what about you? Collector's edition?
Yeah.
Soundtrack, art book, D&D, whatever?
Oh, have they announced what's in it already?
I'm just assuming.
Oh.
Come on.
Well, the D&D thing was more specific. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I've got the other three. Why stop a good thing?
Okay, that's it for Let's Go Topical.
Okay.
Do you have fun?
Yeah.
I had great fun.
I really All right, did. Guys. Good, good. Okay. Our week in gaming. I want Pete to go first.
All right. Okay, I've got three things I've been playing already. One I only bought today, so I've played it for about 10 minutes before I came on here, which is Forza 3, which came out today in Europe, so we got something first for once, which is nice.
I was about to say, I don't think that's out. That can't be out there.
No, right,
didn't you guys get the second one first as well?
I think we did, actually, yeah. Again, just by a few days, but yeah, we've got it first for once. And yeah, I've had a little look through. I've played just a couple of races, and I've actually got the marketplace screen open in front of me at the minute, just having a look at some of the stuff that's on there. And there's some amazing things on there already, from people who've been playing and designing cars and doing photos and stuff. The whole interface looks a lot slicker. A lot of people criticise Forza 2 for it being a bit drab and boring interface-wise, but it's a lot more colourful now. It's a lot more sort of friendly looking. You've got the community side of it. You've got a storefront now, which is kind of a sort of personal profile, if you like, of all the things that you've uploaded. So you can upload photos and replays, and you can do paint jobs, but you can also upload vinyl groups now as well. So whereas in Forza T you could do a design for a complete car and it would only fit onto that one kind of car, what you can do now is you can make a set of stickers that you can put onto any car, which is a good idea because it means that these people are doing these amazing designs. You can put them on pretty much any car now instead of just the one that they originally designed it on. So
that's good. I like that.
So I'll be putting together a Squadron of Shame sticker for anyone who wants to proudly display it.
Yes!
Yay!
Excellent. So yeah, I've literally played for about 5 minutes so far, but it looks great so far. I was surprised it came on two discs as well. Actually, it's it's two DVDs, and the second one you just install a bunch of stuff on your hard drive. There's a load of extra cars and tracks and things. I got the special edition as well because the extra content in it is worth having. It was £5 more to get the special edition, and there's a whole bunch of new tracks. There's loads of new cars. And my local game shop was nice enough to throw in the pre-order bonus as well, which is another two cars with custom paint jobs. So that's nice. That's all I can say about that at the moment, really. But I'm sure there'll be plenty more to say about that over the next few weeks because I know a lot of squad members are planning on picking it up.
Yep, I'll have it next week.
I was surprised how much I liked Forza 2. So maybe birthday or Christmas, I'll be getting that.
Yeah, I've always liked Forza a bit more than Gran Turismo. I played the first three Gran Turismos and kind of didn't really get into it until Gran Turismo 3. But the first Forza really engaged me with things like the customization and the paint shop and that sort of thing. Forza 2 I thought was a really good game, and Forza 3 looks like they've just sort of really polished it and made it a really good experience. They've added stuff that should have been there before, like the cockpit view and stuff like that people were asking for from previously. It looks great as well. It's a beautiful looking game. So, all right, that's Forza. Other stuff I've been playing: Uncharted 2, as you might expect.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard what you thought about Uncharted 2 yet.
I really like it. It's great. I really like it. Yeah, I haven't quite finished it yet.
You tried to tell me lies.
Yeah, I haven't quite finished it yet. But what I've played so far, it's amazing. It's stunning. They've kind of optimized the engine and stuff. So although the first Uncharted looked great, the thing that bugged me a little bit is there was a little bit of sort of screen tearing when you move the camera a bit, and that's all gone now. Just a technical side of it is amazing, and it's well written. Nate and Elena and Chloe and all that lot are all excellent characters, and yeah, I'm loving it. It's a fantastic, fantastic game, so more of that. I haven't touched the multiplayer yet, though, so I'm looking forward to trying that out with a few people.
Yeah, I haven't even done that yet either.
Yeah. So that's about all I was saying, that, because I know you guys talked that to death last time, so which I haven't listened to yet, for spoiler reasons.
Very good.
And the last thing I've been playing, like you said, Mike, I've been playing quite a bit of World of Warcraft. I went back to it probably just over a month ago now. I've been playing off and on, kind of, actually since the original European beta, but I've never taken a character up to the level cap or anything like that. And until this last period of play, I'd never even played any of the expansion content. I hadn't played any of Outland or any of Northrend, so I've got my main character now up to level 70, so I'm just starting to see some of the really high-end stuff now, and it's great fun. And it's a game that really improves the further you play. The stuff in Northrend is significantly better than the early stuff, which is one of the things that's going to be interesting about Cataclysm, I think, because of the nature of what they're doing with Cataclysm, with revamping the kind of old world of it, if you like. They should theoretically be able to make stuff of a similar quality to the latest quest lines and that sort of thing in for the low level things as well. So I'll be really interested to see what's going on there.
What kind of character do you have?
I've got a mage.
What race?
It's a human.
What spec?
Fire mostly. Got a little bit in arcane now, but mostly fire. So I do ridiculous amounts of damage, which is a lot of fun. So I've quite an interesting experience as well, because I'm a super nerd and I play on a role-playing server as well. So
nice.
There's lots of...
Wait a second. Why is it nice when he does it, but when I do it, I'm a loser?
Because you are a loser, so anything you do is stupid. Pete is awesome. Anything he does is awesome.
Of course.
Thank you for that vote of confidence.
Pete, please continue.
I will. So any Europeans listening, I'm playing on the Dark Moon Fair server, which actually didn't used to be a role-playing server, and they switched it over a little while back, which made a few people a bit annoyed, but made the role-playing community quite happy, because there was only, I think, one before that. But yeah, there's a really good community of players there who, as well as doing a lot of role-playing, there's some... a good community aspect on their chat channels and thing on that particular server as well. So if you're a European WoW player, I'd certainly recommend the Dark Moon Fair server.
So wait till you get max level. That's when the game gets fun.
Yeah, so I'm hearing this. People are just starting to say, now I've hit 70, I should start looking at doing some raids and things now, which is, again, something I've not done before. So I'm really interested to try it. They had added so much stuff since the last time I played it as well, because I had a break of maybe about 2 years. I played a bit when Burning Crusade came out and then stopped for a bit. Didn't play when Wrath of the Lich King came out, and like I said, I picked up Wrath of the Lich King just before I started playing again. And the new stuff they've added really makes it a really solid game now. Like the whole achievement system, although it's completely ripped off from Xbox Live, it adds a lot of additional interesting things to do outside just going out and grinding and things. So I think that was a really good decision on Blizzard's part.
What I like about the achievements is, like, some of them will actually give you things, mostly titles.
Yeah.
But, like, right now the Halloween event's going on. Hallow's End, it's
Hallow's
called.
Hallow's End, yeah.
And, like, it's first off, I love the achievement for getting all of the Hallow's End achievement. It's called Hallowed Be Thy Name, which is an Iron Maiden reference, so that's sweet. So, and then you get the achievement, I mean, you get the title, the Hallowed, if you get that achievement, so yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But there's some interesting stuff to do in there that are just, like, stupid little meta challenges as well. Like, there's one where you have to go and find all the unique types of critters around a place and tell them that you love them, and you get an achievement for that. But
yes.
That turns into a massive scavenger hunt across the entire world, which is a lot of fun and very diverting. But, and things I've added to the website, like the armory thing, where you can go and look up people's characters and equipment online. And there's even an iPhone app to let you do that on the go if you're really sad. like me.
I was about to say, that sounds cool.
Yes, it is pretty cool.
Then you're like, that would make you sad. I'm like, God dang it.
It's all right. Anyway. I'm really enjoying that. I've gone the whole hog and kind of customized my interface quite a bit as well. So I'm using a really good mod called Soundtrack as well, which lets you put your own music into it.
I've had that mod years ago. It's really cool. Mm.
Yeah. It hasn't been updated for a while, but it still works just fine with Lich King. So... And the one weakness I found with a lot of Blizzard games is that I think the music is really underused a lot of the time, particularly in stuff like World of Warcraft and even Diablo to a certain extent. There's some good tunes in there, like Tristram Theme, and there's some atmospheric noises, but I always think from a perspective of making it seem a bit more dramatic and heroic than it is, then I think the music is underused. So now I've got this soundtrack thing. I've got a load of Final Fantasy and Castlevania themes in there, and it sounds great as well as being a lot of fun now. So, all good. Yeah, that's me.
Cool. AJ, why don't you go?
Okay. So I guess my big one this week has been Brutal Legend, which is fan flippin' tastic. Tim Schafer is on top of his game as ever. We all know, like, kind of the hack and slashes gameplay from the demo. Let me address your RTS trepidations. To say it's RTS is overcomplicating it. It's like you have some guys around you, and it's got the typical push forward to go attack where I'm pointing, push down to defend this spot, push left to come back to me. I mean, it's really almost like wingman controls in, like, a flight combat game. You know, you're not, like, making unit groups and formations. It's very simple.
Anything like Overlord?
Kind of. I haven't played Overlord in a while, so I'm trying to remember exactly. I mean,
yeah, I haven't either, but I saw Beige playing it a little while back. Overlord 2, anyway. And that seemed to be you control a character, and, say, with the right stick, you can sort of sweep your troops forward to go and do stuff. But
it's not even that specific. I mean, it's literally... You have a bunch of guys with you, just point them in that direction. You don't have to micromanage
but
if your headbangers are attacking these.
You build those. They are units that you create.
Yeah,
right?
you get resources by building merchandise booths on top of fan geysers, and then you call your stage manager to send out more units. So yeah, I mean, and all, I mean, like I said, you're not sitting there agonizing and micromanaging. You just like, oh, I've got some unit room. Just give me one of everything. Like, send them out, whatever. When you're doing these stage battles, Eddie actually gets wings, so you can kind of fly around over the battle and like more quickly jump from spot to spot. Like really quickly too. He moves really fast. You just can't attack when you're like that. And like, you know, everyone was freaking about Tim Schafer's thing, like, if you're playing like an RTS, you're playing it wrong. What I think he meant by that is you can't just send your units out and hang back. You also still have to get in there and do some fighting to help them out. And, you know, like, you just run into the middle of the group. I got this sweet move now where if you go from a sprint, you hit the X button, and you do, like, a power slide that leaves a trail of flames behind you as you play your guitar. And, you know, you do that thing where you just send out that big shockwave and knock dudes back, and you just keep doing that. And, you know, fight along with your units. You can do all the team-up attacks with everybody. So, I mean, that's aspect of the game. It works really well. It's not hard. I mean, if the way you play an RTS is to just select all your units and click on the enemy base and hope for the best, that's how you play this. So, it's not hard. But then, like, just everything with, like, the game world and the characters are awesome. You just drive around this, like, weird place. It's like a heavy metal album come to life, and everything just looks so good and so well designed and well laid out and well thought out, and like, you know, just driving around in the world in your car is sweet. And I mean, the storytelling and the characters in this game are incredible. Like, I don't want to spoil the moment, but I just hit a moment in the game that was one of the most genuine moments of character interaction I've ever seen in a video game. So when you hit it, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. But it's really, 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 really good. And, Mike, you need to start playing it because it's awesome.
Okay. So, but, like, you're, like, the one of the first people I've heard who was that enthusiastic about it. I guess that's what was killing me.
I think
was talking about it, it seemed like.
Yeah, I think people are almost kind of mad that, like, this happened. Like, how dare they not tell us there was group management in it? But it's like, I don't know, to me it made sense in the game. As you're playing along, you know, you're like, okay, yeah, now they're giving me some guys. And, like, it starts off very simply. You just get a bunch of headbangers you're ordering around. Then they just slowly introduce more and more units to you until it becomes your first stage battle where you actually are getting the resources and everything. It's all very gradually introduced, and it's taught to you well. It's not overwhelming. It's really well done.
Okay.
Let's see. I played at my local Best Buy a demo for DJ Hero. And I was kind of surprised by how much I like it.
Why is it, like, you and Chris are like, oh, DJ Hero's probably going to be bad. I can't believe it's not bad. DJ Hero looked like fun.
Well, the things that keep me from completely enjoying it are the controller. The controller's kind of shitty. Mm. Here's the problems with it. Like, when you look at the screenshot for this game, it's hard to figure out what the hell you're supposed to be doing. But you'll notice, like, the left and right note highways kind of slide out sometimes. There's a crossfader switch that you keep your left hand on. And if that highway slides out, you just flip the switch in that direction, and then you bring it back to center. Here's the issue. Anything off of center registers as being flicked to that side. To be center, you have to have that switch at dead center. And there's a little bit of a click in that spot, but not much. And when you're doing a million other things in this game, it's really hard to get that switch back to center, which would have made sense to me, is only the extreme left and the extreme right count as left or right, and anything else in between is center. Because it's pretty easy to, without looking, just flick the switch out. It's bringing it back in, that's the problem. And then just, like, the turntable part of the controller has absolutely no resistance to it. It's completely loose. So it, like, kind of gets away from you. Like, you'll be trying to scratch a note, and it'll actually slip out from your hands, and you have to, like, go and catch it, which is really annoying. And then the buttons are just spaced very closely together. I mean, I have kind of big hands, so I mean, maybe it's just to keep it working for kids as well. But my
maybe you just have fat fingers.
Yeah, whatever. My hands started cramping up on me as I was playing it. So I mean, I wish they would do stuff to fix the controller, but I mean, at this point, I guess it's too late. The game itself, though, is really fun. The visuals are kind of fun. Like, they don't have that crappy Guitar Hero look. That, I mean, I guess they kind of got rid of that in Guitar Hero 5 too. So that's good. And I forget what the other two tracks even were, but the one track in the demo is this really awesome mix-up of Feel Good Incorporated and Heard It Through the Grapevine. And, like, I just want to download that track. It's actually really, really good. So I have to actually look at the track list and see what else is in it to see if there's any more interesting things like that. But, I don't know, like, you know, go to Best Buy or something, see if they have it, try it. I thought it was okay. I don't know if I'm going to be dropping $100 on it anytime soon.
Anything else?
I did get Assassin's Creed for PC because Steam had it on sale for $5.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm actually kind of surprised at how well it runs in my computer. The reason I never got it when they had it on sale before is I assumed it just wouldn't work. But I was like, eh, screw it, I'll get it.
Are you going to try to beat it before the second one comes out?
I'm not too concerned about it. I was like, oh, I'll just get this. Why not? $5, whatever. Let's see. I found a copy of Call of Duty, Call of Juarez, the second one, whatever the subtitle is, for $15 at Target. I haven't opened it yet, but I saw it real cheap, and I was like, okay, we'll do that.
All right, this isn't what you've been buying.
Yeah, I know.
If you're done, you're done.
The one more thing I do want to talk about is I did get last night into the Xbox Live dashboard preview, so I thought I'd just go over that real quick, because it's sort of gaming. The big things in it, I already kind of touched on the Zune Marketplace, but that works really well, because I was catching up on the Guild, and like some of the episodes I had downloaded, then like the last two I didn't, so I just streamed them, and there's virtually no difference between the two. Like it's just like the Netflix streaming. It works really, really well. Then let's see, there's the Twitter thing in it. It's got a ways to go to be a decent Twitter client. For one, like as you're typing, there's no character count, so you don't know if you've hit 140 characters. They need to at least put like TwitPic integration or something. So you can't do much with a lot of the tweets. You can read them and reply, but you can't like look at pictures or anything. So that's not super useful. I mean, I've got Tweety on my iPhone. I just use that. The Facebook app is really good for looking at pictures. It actually loads pictures more quickly than the Facebook website does, which is kind of strange, but it works really, really well, actually. And then, you know, you could do status updates and everything, and this isn't too useful yet just because I think a lot of people, like, don't, you know, have the update yet, but you can link your Facebook to your Xbox Live, and then there's three settings. There's like my Facebook friends, and then there's my Facebook friends who are on Xbox Live. And this would be a good way of like maybe finding some people that you didn't realize had live accounts that you can now add to your friends list. The last big thing in the update is the Last.fm integration, which is really, really awesome. They actually, like, as you're listening to a station or like an artist, they'll like the screen will just kind of show like a slideshow of pictures of that artist. Like I was listening to a video game station and a song by McVaff of Overclock Remix came on and I actually had a picture of him. I thought that was really cool. So yeah, that's actually really, really nice. So yeah, they're going to release the Halo Waypoint thing next week. So I'll talk about that then, I guess.
You done?
So, I am done. Unless Pete has a question.
Yeah, so some of the dashboard update sounds really cool, but I think they've missed quite a few opportunities there. Like the Twitter thing, I kind of don't see the point of it really. On the
there
Xbox.
Isn't. It's a bullet point. We have Twitter. Yeah. Everyone loves Twitter. I mean, what it'll be more interesting is when games start integrating with that more.
Yeah, I think the Facebook Connect thing's going to be good. If you can like share, like say pictures from Forza or something like that, that'd be good.
And then even like you know like how Uncharted will do that thing where it'll put out a tweet when you're starting multiplayer.
Yeah.
Imagine if like an Xbox game did that, and if you look at that tweet within the Xbox, you could just click a button to join that session.
That'd be a great idea.
That'd be cool. They need to do something like that.
The Last.fm thing, like I really like the idea of that. The only thing I don't like about it is the fact that you can't have it in the background, can you?
I don't think so. Because, I mean, these things all work like Netflix. They're like separate applications. They're not, like, built into the core, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think you could do anything like that.
Yeah. Because what I would really love with Last.fm would be to have it built right into the dashboard and then be able to sort of have streaming music in the background as a custom soundtrack in a game.
Yeah, like you'd be playing Forza and have like a Last.fm station loaded. That would
be great,
cool,
wouldn't it? I mean, they've talked about doing that in games in the past and then never did it. Like when they first announced Test Drive Unlimited, they said there was going to be live radio stations streaming over the internet into the game, and they never did that.
There are ways that you can do it. Like you can use things like T-versity, and I don't think PlayOn does, but similar programs that were like it'll stream out your last FM station like it's just a playlist to your Xbox, and you could do it that way. There are ways to do it.
Yeah, I guess it'd be nice to have it built in though. I think.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
All right. What'd you play, Mike?
Nothing, really. I mean, I played things, but it was all stuff I talked about. I mean, it's been a lot of Warcraft, honestly, so I'll spare everyone.
Flavor
I got
legend.
My epic flying mount, though.
Oh, good.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Let's do the releases, AJ.
Okay. On the download front for WiiWare, we have the sequel to Lost Winds. Lost Winds Winter. I think I typed that wrong. What's it Lost supposed to be? Winter. Winter of Melodious. Winter.
I need to get on that.
Yes. There's also Shutanto, Evolutionary Mayhem on WiiWare.
That calls for a George voice, if anything. Shutanto, Evolutionary Mayhem.
Shutanto, Evolutionary Mayhem. DSi, we have a whole bunch of Domo games. Crash Course Domo, Hard Hat Domo, Pro Putt Domo, Rock and Roll Domo, and White Water Domo. Virtual Console has Rygar. Xbox Live Arcade, Panzer General Allied Assault, and Tower Blocks Deluxe. Games on Demand. If you'd like, you may now pay $30 for the privilege to download Sonic Unleashed.
Yeah. Mike, any thoughts?
No. Let's not get into that.
They also have Midnight Club LA and Army of Two, which is actually only $20, so that's kind of tempting, actually. Not right now, because I have a million other games, but someday. PlayStation Network on the PS3, Trine has finally been released. They also have Oddworld Abe's Odyssey and Oddworld Abe's Exodus, which, if I read this right, it's not like, they're not like the PS1 games, they're actually, like, built specific for the PS3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think. I didn't see any indicator that they were PS1 classics, you know? So I'm not entirely sure.
The PS1 versions have actually been on the European store for quite a while.
Huh.
If they're not in the States.
I don't think so.
I'll look into that.
Yeah, let's see. PSP has a bunch of games. Let me just run through this list real quick. GTA Liberty City Stories, GTA Vice City Stories, The Warriors, Lemmings, Undead Knights, The Secret Saturdays, Beast of the Fifth Sun. That sounds incredible. Marvel Superhero Squad, Steambot Chronicles, Battle Tournament, Hammer and Hero, R-Type Command. Oh, that's cool. Crimson Gem Saga, Riviera, The Promised Land, Yggdra Union, Capcom Puzzle World, FIFA Soccer 10, Armored Core 3 Portable, Half Minute Hero, and WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2010. And on good old games, Patrician 1 and 2, and Commandos 2 and 3.
Alright. Real releases? You ready for that?
Yeah.
You done? Okay. So, Borderlands came out for 360, PS3, and PC.
Everyone who's playing it loves this game. Like, it reviewed about where I expected in that kind of 8.5 range, but everyone who's playing it, I mean, and they're all playing it co-op, I should clarify. All people do, on, like, my Twitter feed is alive with all these people, like, playing Borderlands co-op tonight, it's so awesome. I'm like, oh, okay.
Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars for the PSP. Didn't like it on the DS. So.
Yeah.
SmackDown vs. Raw 2010, PS3, PS2, PSP, Wii, DS, 360. All that good stuff. FIFA Soccer 10 for PS3.
And 360.
And 360. Way of the Samurai 3 for 360. Marvel Superhero Squad for Wii, PS2, and DS. Bakugan Battle Brawlers for 360, Wii, PS2, and PS3. And Dragon Ball Revenge of King Piccolo for Wii.
Alright.
There's always got to be at least one bad anime game, doesn't there?
Yeah.
Alright, thanks for listening, everybody. That's our show. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronofshame.com. You can contact us at our Twitter account at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for listening to our show, everyone. We'll see you next time. Everyone say goodbye.
Bye. I feel like we're being rushed out.
We're not being rushed out. I know it kind of going fast all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Well, if you have anything to say... Say it now.
Oh, really?
I have something to say. The Uncharted Squadcast had a few technical difficulties along the way, but it's partway to being done and should hopefully be up by the end of the weekend. So if anyone's waiting for that, that's where it is.
Whose audio is all messed up? Whose fault was it?
George.
I thought so. Uh-huh. George was the one, yeah.
Yeah. He recovered most of his files, to be fair, but the last segment just wasn't there at all. So.
Hey, how was my intro?
Your intro is great. I loved it.
I'm excited Thank for you. It. Did you use my idea?
No.
Okay, can I tell them what my idea was?
No.
Yes. Okay, so, Pete, tell me this was a good idea. So, you know, in the first Uncharted, when Elena's on the phone with like, somebody and they're in the boat, I said it'd be funny as hell if Mike recorded the other side of that conversation. It was like a Squadron Shame hired Elena to, like, follow Nathan Drake.
That was a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
My idea was better, though, right?
Your idea was great. I did enjoy it a lot.
I did not ask for great. I specifically asked for better.
Yes, your idea was much better.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye.
Bye.